The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hey, good evening. This is Chris Walker with EvangelismCoach.org, and I am so glad that you have chosen to join us this evening for our webinar, particularly focused on training church greeters. I can tell that we've really hit a nerve. This is the largest webinar that we've had in the year that I've been doing webinar services. And so I can tell that we've been able to find a need that you all have. And I look forward to our webinar tonight with Paige. Paige has written a new book on greeter training. I've written a book on greeter training that I just released today. And together we've got some great stuff that we'll be able to share with you. And really our desire is to help you organize, launch, refresh, maybe even restart your greeter training ministry. I also want to thank you all for filling out the survey questions during the registration process, because that really helped us to know how to fine-tune some of the elements of our webinar tonight. Now, before we get started, let me tell you, we've had nearly 200 registrations this evening. At least 6 different countries are joining us here in our virtual classroom. And so it'll be a great evening of information, a great evening of training, and a great evening of learning how to improve the greeting ministry there at your church. Now, in terms of how do you submit questions, on the right-hand side of your screen, for most of you, you have a control box that has the control features for GoToWebinar. One of those little boxes is for questions. In that box, you can type your question. It'll be submitted to me, and I'll kind of monitor the questions as we go through the evening, as we go through the webinar. And if they're related to a particular point, I'll interrupt Paige's presentation and allow that question to be raised. I'll be presenting them, but you can submit them through that question panel there on the side of your screen. And that's how we found it most helpful, particularly in a virtual classroom when we can't really see each other. But particularly when we have a class that is this size, it's helpful for me to kind of field some of the questions. And so with that, let me go ahead and introduce Paige. I'm very grateful that she has chosen to give some of her time tonight. She has written this book called The Work of the Greeter, which was just released here in June of 2009. That provides a biblical basis for hospitality, along with practical directions and instructive information about launching and sustaining the greeter's ministry in your church. Now, I've read the book, and I think it is one of the best books on the market right now for greeter training. When the webinar is over, you'll get a link as to how you can get it on Amazon. And it is part of Judson's series of books covering every task in the church. Paige has served as Director of Membership and Maturity at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, which is my hometown, where she helped to develop the structure to accomplish the pastor's visions for small groups. And recently she's been serving as a pastor at First Baptist Church in Franklin, Virginia. She teaches theology, world religions, and missions at the Richmond, Virginia Seminary, and she's a member of the St. Paul's Church family. And Paige, I am so glad that you've decided to join us this evening. Let me go ahead and turn my screen over to you so that your PowerPoint can come up on the screen. And here we go. You should click on your Show My Screen button.
Okay, just it.
And there we go. If you want to go ahead and turn your presenter view on, not that button.
Oh. I did that. Okay, we're ready.
All righty. Hit the F5 key, and you can put that up on your screen. The F5 key on your keyboard.
F5. Okay.
Uh-huh. There we go. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Paige. I'm so glad you're here with us tonight and that you've got such great information. I want to give you as much time as possible to share it in the hour that we have together.
Well, I'm just delighted and thrilled to be a part of your webinar, Chris, and I'm grateful that you have invited me to share in this moment with your people, people who registered from around the world, many other countries, as well as here within the United States. And we really hope that this will be a beneficial a few moments with you to help you get your greeter ministry launched in your church, or to help revamp it in one way or another. What you see on the screen right now is the list of the 8 different chapters that I pinned in the book. And what you are looking at in red are kind of the topics that I want to emphasize a little more than the others. So we can't teach the whole book, but we hopefully can hit these high points. And as I get started with the role of the greeter, to me this is so key. As I looked at some of your questions and thoughts and concerns from your registrations, you want people who are not just going to be smiley faces. You don't want folk who are going to be superficial. And to me, one of the ways to positively approach and deal with that is to steep them in biblical hospitality. And we can go out actually all the way back to Exodus, where the Lord at Mount Sinai told Moses how to configure the 12 tribes of Israel, and that God wanted the tabernacle smack dab in the middle of their community. And in essence, it was dual hospitality, that they were going to host God in the tabernacle, if you would. But in essence, we know that God was really the host to them, because he had brought them out of Egypt. He was caring for them, taking care of them, leading, guiding, directing them all the way to the promised land. So we need to get a sense of the holy in the idea of hospitality, and I think that is just bedrock for being able to train and orient the right people to the ministry of greeting. We'll deal with some things in the worship service that need to be done by your greeter teams as we go along tonight, but I want to emphasize, too, the character of the greeter. It is so important that you know you do not need to only focus on practical things that you need to implement from Sunday to Sunday with your greeter teams, but to continuously try and to offer the spiritual nurture that your people need in the church who are part of your greeter teams. So the character of the greeter is quite important, and it will affect and impact both positively and negatively your team relationships. More positively, I would hope that the relationships within the team would be great, because then you know that they will be better able to manage their relationships with people that they welcome to worship Sunday after Sunday when they're on duty. We're going to give you some tips about what to do before the service and also after the service. And then, of course, the character of your church is there. I'll focus on that a bit. But we want to lift up the challenges that you will face. And hopefully you may have one or two questions towards the end of some particular or peculiar challenges in your individual churches, but I'll be speaking to that in general. And then we want to give you the organization of the work of the greeter, how best to structure that. And certainly I emphasize, not only in opening the book but in closing the book, the work, the spiritual development of the greeter. I cannot emphasize enough that you need to know your church. And I put it in these terms, that you've got to put your church under the microscope. And it's so important because someone coming into your church on a Sunday could ask a question, and the worst thing that you can say is, "I don't know." So not only some practical information about the configuration of your church plant, your church building, but also about officers and leaders of the church that you might need to be knowledgeable about and familiar with, as well as ongoing programs and events, what your church has to offer to the people coming in to your sanctuary to worship. So you need to know your church. Put your church under the microscope. As the leader, there you cannot know too much about your church, from the pastor on down. And certainly in launching this ministry, it's got to start with the pastor. It's got to be something that the pastor wants. If you don't have the support of the pastor, you'll either have a very, very difficult time, or the ministry itself will just not flourish. And so it's very important that you know your church, put your church under the microscope, and be ready to know all that you possibly can. one of the things that gave me great joy as I was writing the book is that virtually every culture around the world has its own way of welcoming people. I've been to 16 African countries, and I always love the music and the exciting dancing and the drums, of course, that are beating as they welcome visitors into the various villages. And, of course, the Hawaiian lei we're familiar with, that's not only colorful but fragrant. Now, I've been to Alaska, but I didn't get a chance to rub noses with the Eskimos, but I hear that they do that to welcome you into their community. But certainly, suffice it to say, a friendly handshake or a nice comforting hug should be sufficient, or a fist bump, or just simply the verbal appropriate statements to welcome people would be sufficient in your greeter's ministry. I would encourage you to try to infuse hospitality into your congregation. And for you, what I mean by that, if you're just starting out or just initiating a greeter's ministry now, I would encourage you to go to every official organization of your church and explain to them what you are launching, and kind of reorient them to the idea of hospitality. It's sad to say, but the idea of hospitality that most church folk have is of fried chicken and string beans and potatoes and some dessert and some a glass of iced tea. And I mean, that is just not hospitality. And most of our hospitality teams have really been catering teams or preparing meals for special events for the church. So we've got to kind of reorient many of the people in our churches as to what true hospitality is. And that's receiving the alien, receiving the stranger. Because God said to the children of Israel, I have brought you out of Egypt. And now as you would welcome the strangers in your midst, only remember that you were once alien. And so that's part and parcel and at the core of knowing how to welcome people and how to be hospitable. So you want to infuse that sense of hospitality into and throughout your congregation. And you do that by going group to group. Whenever they're going to meet, you've got a small cadre of welcoming leaders as you try to launch that ministry and take them into these various organizations. Explain what it means about hospitality. Give them some biblical basis and background. And then let them know what you're projecting, what you're moving towards. Certainly connect with the authority in your church. Take the hospitality message throughout. You're sensitizing the congregation because many people of a certain age and older just don't even feel like you need to welcome anybody to the church. They've never been welcomed except in a formal way, in a programmatic way, not at the door. And there are reasons for that, and I do explain and go into some depth with that in the book. So you want to try to sensitize them and just remember that greeting is evangelism at its best. And this is why it's just wonderful that Chris and I have been able to connect with him serving as a missionary and an evangelist. And it's just wonderful that we can put the two things together, because how can you evangelize if you don't know how to accept and warmly greet and validate the person in that kind of a moment? So that's what's very, very key, to remember that greeting is right at the essence, right at the heart of evangelizing.
Now, Paige, before you go on for just a minute, let me make an announcement that tonight's webinar, the audio track is being recorded. The slides are being recorded for a video presentation, and then the slides themselves will be available for download about an hour after the webinar. So I wanted to get that in there because that's a common question that's coming in here. All right, keep going.
Great.
You're doing
great. Super. Okay. This is a picture of your greeter connections. This shows everybody that you really must connect with. let me say, communicate, 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 communicate. You cannot communicate enough. You've got to be in touch with your ushers to coordinate where is the dividing line between what the ushers do and what the greeters do. You've got to be able to communicate with your church officers. They need to be aware of what's going on in that ministry, what you're doing, what your needs are, etc. Most churches have some quality of health ministry, and you need to make sure that they are on board, and you cannot wait until emergencies happen before you put these things in place. You've got security teams in most churches. You've got maybe more than one greeter team, depending upon how long it's been in place, or even as starting, you may have more than one greeter team. Then you've got an information group one way or another. Some churches have an information booth or welcoming booth that people can go to and get information about some aspect of church life. So with each of these groups, as the bare minimum, you really need to make the connections, the greeter connections. And it's so important not only to make the initial connections, but to keep these folk up to date with where you are, where you're going, what you want to accomplish, and to be able to deal with whatever questions or cares or concerns they may have about welcoming people into the church. Recruiting and training. You don't want anybody that just knows how to paste on a smile, of course. We want folk that know how to be genuinely warm. And I will say that you cannot be genuinely warm without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us that knows how to value the person coming towards you. And I just cannot say that strongly enough, because otherwise it just comes out of your human spirit and out of your own emotions. And your own emotions can be up or down or sideways on any given Sunday. So if there is something, there has to be something beneath or deeper than just your own emotions, how you're feeling, how you're thinking, how life is treating you in the moment. And so therefore, you've got to continue that spiritual nurture so that people are spiritually ready to welcome and receive those who are coming into the church doors. You want to encourage folk who know that they've got a true sense of hospitality. Invite them to join. And as you go to many different organizations in the church to share with them the vision and the thought about a greeter ministry, you'll be able to draw from those groups some people who might would like to be a part of your greeter ministry. And certainly don't just make an announcement during worship service. You can do that, but you've got to have some behind-the-scenes work as well to draw people into your ministry. I love the thought that this is one, if not the only, ministry in the church where total, full, whole families can participate, regardless of what configuration the family is, from children on up to grandparents, can be a team or part of a team together. So encourage families to join. Make your greeter ministry intergenerational. And I think that is just so key. Some of these other recruiting and training tips I've touched on in the other slide, but primarily you want to continuously sensitize your team to the potential needs of the arriving people. And you do that through your training and acting out and dramatizing. As we look at people who are arriving, we can see whatever concerns they may have or whatever facial expression they may have by the way that they're either looking down or they're rushing, whatever their body behavior is. From the facial expression to even what they're carrying in their arms that they may need some help with. So we've got to be sensitive to their needs that they are already expressing through their body behavior. And therefore, we validate them and receive them very positively when we offer help or share concern if they seem to be worried or rushed or whatever. And so we want to make sure that we also provide some level of leadership training in our different meetings and have some practice sessions as we go along and meet from month to month. in your meetings, they should be both spiritual and practical. Don't think that you only need to open up with prayer. You really need to open up with both a season of prayer and Bible study. And when I was doing the small group ministry at our church, I virtually convinced them that if they were gathering for any reason other than putting the word of the Lord first, then they were in the wrong place. Because this was not Hollywood. We didn't need just somebody with a good voice to sing. We needed someone who knew the Lord, who had committed their talents to the Lord, to be able to really lead and share in our music ministry. And so when you look at every aspect of the church as being ministry, then you've got to keep that spiritual dimension there and not just default to the practical so much of the time. And that's where I feel like a lot of people get burnt out, a lot of people just fall by the wayside, because the practical is not sufficient to sustain your ministry. Remember that greeting is a spiritual task, not a practical effort. And I kind of differentiate between ushers and greeters, that the ushers, that they provide the practical work for people who are arriving at church. The ushers have the bulletins in hand and whatever else that they need to hand out as people are arriving. But in my understanding and my preference, the greeter should never have anything in his or her hand to hand out. And I only make one exception for that, because on special occasions, maybe once or twice a year, a high celebrative moment in the life of the church, you may want to use a different way of greeting folk, like the Hawaiian lei. And they make plenty of paper ones that people would just be thrilled to get something like that as they walk through your doors. So you can make it a very special way of greeting, and that's the only thing that you should, only time that you should have something in your hands to present them or to drape them with or to greet them with. Otherwise, your hands should be available to either shake their hand or help them in some way. There are many scriptures that really speak to the quality of hospitality. Use these scriptures. I've got many in my book, and I know Chris has some in his as well, and there's a book of devotions, especially for greeters, that I've also written, and I'll share more about that later, that gives you many scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that can help you build that spiritual base in your ministry. Help your teammates to know one another better. Many teammates just don't know each other. They see each other, they know the face, but they can't even put a name with the face because they're not with one another sufficiently. So build that sense of friendliness and some social opportunities, just better knowledge one of the other amongst your team members. Plan your stations and rotate your teams. No team should ever be married to one spot, to one door, to one entrance. Your team should be rotated, in my best estimation, and you decide how many doors and entrances to the church that you feel you'd need to staff. But if it's more than one, then you rotate your teams to those particular entrances. Practice using your electronic items. Many people are not comfortable with a walkie-talkie, but at the time they may need it. It might be the wrong person on duty if they're not used to using it. So even in your meetings, this is some of the training that's needed for folk to know how to use even walkie-talkies, to be able to call up a nurse or a medical person to give some attention to an arriving worshiper. Families come in all kinds of configurations, and I just want to encourage you to be transgenerational. Again, everybody from a young child, 7 or 8 years old, all the way up to 80, as long as they can stand for a while comfortably, and even folk who might be physically challenged, wheelchair-bound, etc. You don't need to leave out anybody who has the heart and spirit of hospitality. provide and encourage the spiritual development of your group. Again, a rich, deep, and vibrant faith needs to be part and parcel of any greeter's ministry. The richer the faith, the greater the greeter. And don't languish in the superficial, but develop your team spiritually. As far as your meetings are concerned, again, I suggest a monthly meeting to offer the quality of training and the regularity of training that's needed and helpful. But you don't need to do a lot of training or orienting on Sundays before or after your service that you offer. The most important meetings in my mind, though, are those before you mount your post and those that immediately follow the close of service. What I suggest, and this is based upon some of the research from Willow Creek Church and also from a church in Atlanta, Bishop Eddie Long's church, that before you mount your post, your team needs to come together. Don't let them straggle to the doors to be greeters. The whole team that's serving on that Sunday needs to meet together prior to service. You set the time 20 minutes, half hour before service starts, if not even more, because many people arrive. You know the pattern of arrival at your own church, and so you can stratify that. But get folks focused and oriented toward being ready to receive the incoming worshipers. And then once the service starts and moves towards conclusion, you don't want the greeters to rush out the doors ahead of the worshipers. And so greeters should be back on task, back on service, just before the close of service, so they can wish people well, thank them for coming, and then after just about everybody has left the church, the team should come back together. And I use the sports analogy in the book. I don't know of a football team that doesn't huddle together before and after the game, and to be able to debrief after a service is over as to some important things that may have happened in the course of greeting that day. Willow Creek calls this GEMS, gems, and for them it's all about the guest, and they want to make sure that we know exactly what has happened in the life of the guest and the greeter. And they said it's guest experience moments. There may be a high moment, a joyous moment that occurs on your watch. And to be able to share that and the team to celebrate together, or if there is an issue between a couple of your team members that maybe has reared its head on that particular day, at least address it in the time together after the service and say, we're not going to deal with the issue now, but we'll at least address it and let you know we care and that we're concerned, and in our regular meeting we'll be able to deal with it more fully. You have then diffused the situation for the most part and at least expressed some level of care that folk know they don't have to just fuse and fume about the matters for a whole month or however long until the next meeting. So these meetings before your service and after need to be very, very brief, but very, very focused. You don't want to waste people's time, but you need to make it mandatory that they are there before and after the service as a team. And that will help you to build a team spirit, because in several of your comments, I realize that many of you are questing for how do I develop that team? How do I help people to be more committed? Well, if you can't give people not only something to join, but something they feel positive about belonging to, you'll never create a team. And so it's not a matter of having their name on the roster that they have joined the greeter ministry, but they need to feel as though they are a valued member and that they are becoming solidified with the rest of the group, and that whole team spirit is being built by not only the spiritual nurture, but also by the sense of sharing in the lives of the people who come in to worship and one another as the team. Training is unending. There is no exception for that. If you are not capable of doing some of the training yourself, it's important that you would bring in other experts right there in your congregation or in your community and make sure that appropriate training is offered to your teammates. Proper preparation is
Paige, let me throw something in there in terms of bringing in other experts. Thanks to technology, other experts can do video conferences without actually having to travel. And so something that I've done for other churches is that, you know, do a webinar just for them, like what you and I are doing for our entire virtual class tonight. I've done Sunday school classes by teleconference. Think George Jetson, where my video was broadcast on a screen. They were in Virginia Beach, and I was 4,000 miles away where I was that day, and I was able to teach that particular class. And so, you know, an expert doesn't have to physically come. Technology has made it available that they can come virtually as well. So I did want to bring that up. So I'll let you keep going.
And that's a gold mine in and of itself as far as a wealth of information and being able to further develop your team and meet their needs. I love this thought of radical hospitality. That's in a book, and it came from an interview I did with a pastor, and he took his whole set of leaders on a retreat and said they decided they wanted their entire church to be about and to offer radical hospitality. And so that was from pulpit to the parking lot, et cetera, and on and on. And that's just a great spirit within that church, radical hospitality. So I threw that out to you as well to emphasize that point. But lastly here, enforce accountability in your team. If you can't have people who will be present and accounted for when they schedule to be on duty, you don't need them. And don't hesitate in very appropriate and gentle and caring ways to just say, well, Susie, I see that it's difficult for you to be here to be a part of the team, so maybe there's another ministry that you would be more comfortable with. There's always a way to help that person move on to something different that would suit their lives or lifestyles a little better. But do not hesitate to require that quality of accountability. If you don't have that, to me, you diminish the possibility of building a strong team. As far as attire, I prefer that greeters are not in uniforms. And when I say uniforms, I'm talking about like ushers' uniforms. And they can be uniformly dressed in maybe black pants, black skirt, and white shirts, and et cetera. So you decide about that yourselves. But also look at the attire of your congregation. If your congregation tends to come to worship more casual, then the attire of your greeters should be more casual. And if they tend to dress up with the fancy hats and all of that, as they say, silk stocking church, then your greeters should be a little better attired, but without the hat, please. Again, this is a part of knowing your congregation, knowing your church, and you can decide from that what's the best attire for your greeters. Now, badges, armbands, sashes, any of those, all of those are fine. You just decide by the preferences of your teammates which would be most appropriate. I do suggest, and I've learned this over the years from other situations, encourage your people not to wear perfume or cologne on the day that they're serving, just out of respect and cautiousness of people who do have allergies, and some people have severe allergies who come in to our worship services, so be cautious about that.
I am one of those who are severely allergic to a lot of cologne. It actually causes a very strong coughing reflex in me.
Wow, I didn't know that, Chris.
Yeah, so I am very sensitive to I can't go into leather shops, I can't even go into Bed Bath & Beyond. Or the Yankee Candle stores, because the aromatics are just too much.
Yeah, overwhelming. And so that's a part of our care for the worshiper that's coming through the door. No gloves is my personal preference, but some churches would require that of you, so adjust to that as you see fit. Give more than the worshiper expect is kind of a trade thought in marketing. The way to make sure that customer slash worshiper would come back is to give them more than what they anticipate receiving. And I'm not talking about music and preaching, et cetera, all the rest of the worship. I'm talking about at the worshiping moment. And so I've listed some ways of greeting for you here and ways of chatting with them that will help you to give them more than what they're expecting. Let me say this. You do not need to start a conversation. Some people say, well, we need to ask their name and so forth. No, you don't. That's not the time to get to know the person. That's the time to simply say, welcome to worship and whatever else is appropriate around that. But it's not the time to even introduce yourself. Some people that I spoke with who were wondering about the task of greeting asked if they should introduce themselves, and I reminded them the greeting task is not about you. It's about the arriving person. So they don't need to know your name. If you've got on a badge and they want to look at that and check that, that's fine. But in the sense of you introducing yourself or presenting yourself to them, it really should not happen, not in the greeting moment. And so you've got some words of welcome here on the screen that you can use, and even sending them off, enjoy the worship. You know, put a ring of joy in your voice. And not just simply good morning and a handshake, but that little pep meeting at the beginning or before your worship should help to put that sense of joy in your voice. Don't hesitate to use a little humor as well, and always be ready to be helpful. I've already mentioned that character is important. Let's get to some challenges and opportunities. Purpose fuels performance. I wish I could underscore that a million times. When your greeters really know their purpose, their performance will be outstanding. In order to know their purpose, they not only need to have that biblical basis, but they need to have the vision from the pastor. What's the vision of your church? What's the vision that your pastor offers that he wants to characterize all of the ministries of the church? So purpose fuels performance, and never forget that. It shapes attitudes of the congregation as well. And attitudes, positive and also negative, you will encounter from time to time with people in the congregation. And always know that many folk in the congregation, no matter what their age or stage, still need or still have some growing to do. Depersonalization. I want to make sure you know, first of all, you don't want to depersonalize the arriving person by virtually ignoring them or not paying attention to their cares, concerns, or needs. If it's raining, make sure you've got some umbrella bags. That's just a basic little practical thing, but cater to their needs. Otherwise, you diminish them as people because they have needs as they come through the door. Whether it's a frown on their face and they're in need of your smile, whatever it is, you depersonalize them if you don't provide to them what they have need of in the moment. Use all the technology that you've got available. Some churches are more wealthy and more high-tech than others, but use what you have and work to get additional technology if you can. Seeing worshipers as individuals is something I wanted to emphasize, and not as just a conglomeration of folk that's assaulting your church doors in the moment. But no matter how large the crowd that's coming through the door at the time, see them as individuals. One of the things that a great preacher said to us when I was doing my MDiv in seminary many, many years ago, he said, there is always simplicity on the other side of complexity. Basically, what he was teaching us is don't get lost in the forest, but you got to see the trees, distinguish the trees from the forest. He just had another way of saying that. And this is what I'm afraid, that too many people lose their sensitivity to the individual when they see crowds coming in. So don't get lost in the mentality of the crowd and lose your sense of that individual, of seeing that worshiper as an individual. Stretch yourself emotionally. Demand of yourself the sense of joy and joyfulness that you want to exude and share and exemplify to the arriving worshiper. Don't react to superficial qualities. Just see the real person behind even the scowl. Don't react to them. Help them if you can. Meet the need, but try to always see the real person behind whatever the body language might be projecting. Don't become lethargic or mechanical. Again, if you stay focused on the individual and lose sight of the crowd, you won't fall into that trap. And here are some simple greetings for you that you'll be able to download perhaps later on. But a word of delight, a word of encouragement, a word of concern or care, et cetera, focus and inquiry. Have I seen you before? And you got to be careful how you say that, how you ask that question, because it might be a person that's been a member there for 40 years, and they will be a little irate with you if you question whether you've even seen them before. So some of these, you've got to be careful how you use them, but they are good if you have a good memory for facial features. And you may not have seen that particular individual before. They may say, oh, yes, but I usually come in a different door. I've been to your church before. This is not my first time, but I don't normally come through this door. So the fact that you raise the question, have I seen you before, is at least letting them know that you're aware that they are a fairly new person. So it can be a very appropriate and pertinent question at times.
Now, Paige, let me chime in there. Two things. One is that a reminder that if you would like to submit questions to Paige, use the question panel that's in the control box where you can type it, and I'll kind of organize them, group them together, and we'll have a Q&A session here shortly. With the slide that you just did, Paige, one of the lessons that I've learned as kind of what I call the six most embarrassing words, is this your first time here?
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Question is one that I have shot myself in the foot with so many times that I've learned to come up with some other ways. And I have an article at evangelismcoach.org that gives some alternative things to say besides that question. And another
excellent.
One that I have
excellent.
Learned that greeters, you know, after the service when people are greeting, another question that should be off our books is, did you enjoy the worship service?
Yes, absolutely.
I
do not want to ask that.
I didn't want to answer. I was asked that question, and the answer was no, I didn't. But I couldn't say that as I was being served a plate of food in this particular congregation. They were having a banquet afterwards, and as I was being served a plate of food by the pastor's wife. What was I about to say?
Wow.
I just kind of thanked her for the food. But, you know, that's a good question that I hear people ask, but one you don't want to put your visitor on the spot.
Yeah, it really puts them
to
on the spot. It makes them very uncomfortable.
Oh,
yeah.
Indeed. Well, let you finish giving the slides because we've got some great questions coming in.
Wonderful. Just about done. I want to encourage you to not miss the teachable moments with your team. Again, sometimes, whether in the pre-service meeting or the post-service meeting, you may not have time to fully deal with any issue, but at least you would have a moment to raise it and use it as a teachable moment and say, we can unpack this a little more later on. And again, you're helping to create that team spirit. A closing thought. I again want to stress, and I love this quote from Ezra, and the first thing that Ezra said is that you are holy unto the Lord, and that the person, the people were holy before the vessels. And we tend in the church to almost care more about the things in the church, even the communion table, and I'm all for being in awe and respectful of the communion table and other appropriate religious objects. But we got to remember those are things, and the Lord didn't die for a thing. He died for people. And so we've got to keep people uppermost in mind. And that's why I love this quote from Ezra, as he had been talking to the Lord about the children of Israel, and he said, first of all, that they were holy. And then after that, the vessels in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, in the temple were holy. The silver, he went on down the line, and they further praised and promoted. Isn't that wonderful? They further rejoiced in the house of God. So when you put people first, it elevates not only their consciousness of the holy, but it helps them to want to give more of themselves to the Lord. And I've got gifts, ribbons, and winners here. Very quickly, I used to live next door to a lady who was a home economist. And she was one who was always giving out ribbons at different fairs and things to folk. And one day she just did something that was incredibly nice for me. And before she came home from work, I'd gone out to the store, got some blue ribbon, and I tied it on her door that she normally entered her house through from parking. And almost 20 years later, she still remembers that moment. And it's little things that we can do for people to let them know how much they are appreciated and valued, how we validate them and their humanity with even just some little things. And so I love the sense of a little gift every now and then, maybe once or twice a year for your arriving people, or a ribbon, et cetera, declaring that they are winners. This brings me to my book, Greeting with Grace, because I'm just so passionate about greeters being steeped in the word that helps them to be more sensitive to the arriving worshiper. And that's what I believe this book will be able to help you with individually, as well as your teammates. And I think Chris is going to help me to make this available to you in the next few days. It's just about finished, and I wanted to announce it to you that it is an option for you, and he will work out the details. But God bless you in your work. I'm ready for the questions, and I hope that the presentation has been helpful. Chris? Hello?
Let me unmute my microphone. How does that work?
Okay.
All right. In terms of the questions, the best way that we can do it with so many people in our room is actually to go ahead and write out the questions in the question panel. They are pouring in, so I'm going to kind of group some of them together as it comes in. One of the questions that comes in is, Paige, in your opinion, about how much training is recommended for greeters? I think you touched on it briefly by saying it's ongoing, but monthly, quarterly, before, after? Can you give a little, can you tie up some of those pieces together?
Yeah, I would suggest that in each of your monthly meetings, once you have actually launched the Greeters Ministry, if you're going to meet monthly, in each of those meetings, there should be a training component. It may just be a 15-minute one-off training module, or something continuous. But I don't think you should have any monthly meeting or quarterly meeting without a training component. There's always something either to be learned or to be refreshed. And what can help guide you is staying on top of what your greeters experience Sunday after Sunday. If you're in touch with them and they're talking to you and you're having these debriefing moments, you will know what their cares and concerns are, what their joys and their great experiences are, and you can help build and shape your training around those kinds of needs. And so initially, to launch a greeters ministry, I would like to suggest, and it's in my book as well, 2 6-hour sessions. It can be different weeks, different months, just however long you have to get the ministry launched. And in between those times, you're still working on the groups and sensitizing and orienting the groups in the church, the other organizations in the church, and you're eliciting other folk to come in and be a part of the greeter ministry. And as you add to that ministry, I think two 6-hour, certain with a meal or some breaks in between sessions would be wonderful, because you need a lot of role playing. You've got all kinds of possibilities and potentialities with human life streaming through your doors. So a lot of role playing, a lot of what ifs, as well as much of the basic leadership training and structuring and stratifying your organization with officers, et cetera. So you've got all of that that you need to be able to do, and I think 2 6-hour sessions would be most appropriate.
Awesome. I've put up on the screen for everybody Paige's book called The Work of the Greeter, and you can order that from Amazon.com, and I'll send you a link that you can click direct to it. You won't even have to go find it. It's about an hour after the webinar is over. It'll be up on the resource page. And Paige, I've also finally got your picture up there as well, so that everybody can at least have a visual of you. And then my book is up there as well, which you can order right off the website. Just finished writing that over the last several weeks and have put that together. Now,
wonderful.
Let's get into some questions with regards to smaller churches. When you're talking churches about 50 members, 45 members, 30 members, mm-hmm. I would imagine that you sometimes get some pushback from folks who think, well, this all sounds good for larger churches that need teams and multiple points of entry, but we're small, we don't have many visitors. How can we help people grab hold of the idea of greeting when our church is that small and we treat everybody like family anyway?
And you've used a key word that really was a trigger for me, because the fallacy is, in our thinking, is that greeting is only for visitors. That's a fallacy. That's a fallacious thought. Greeting is for every worshiper coming into your church, because you're basically saying, welcome, you have arrived. I go right in the book talking about how much people go through from the time they open their eyes in the morning on a Sunday, even just deciding whether they want to go to church, and then from that point to actually making it through the door. And so when you say, welcome, I'm glad you're here, you have validated that person's efforts, that it was worthwhile to even get up out of the bed and make their way to church. Some of them have the biggest struggle, even in your parking lot or on the street trying to find a parking place. So a warm welcome for even your most faithful member will help to reorient that person from what's happened before they came into the door of the church, and now preparing them to be open, ready, joyful, joyous, happy, delighted. They've made it there, ready to worship. And so you've done God a favor in opening up the person, because all the hellacious stuff that they may have gone through just to get to the church, get dressed and all that and whatever, make it through traffic, that you've shut that out. And with your joyous welcome, welcoming ways to them, you've warmed them and opened them and made them ready for worship. That's the transition that greeting will do. So greeting is not for visitors only. It's for every person who walks through your church door.
Awesome. Let's turn to particularly with regards to character. I know in a couple of churches that I've been into, there have been greeters who have been seen at the local bar the night before a little overly intoxicated, as kind of a mild example. You know, there might be others where, you know, a greeter has been known to, you know, maybe one of the greeters got his girlfriend pregnant or something along those lines. And so there's some stories of, you know, questionable character issues. How do we gracefully deal with people who want to serve in a greeting ministry, but yet we're not quite sure a character would match up to what people would expect? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does indeed. Let me say at the outset too, not a single one of us is perfect.
Amen.
The bigger difference is that most of our sins are hidden from the rest of the congregation or the church family, and
right.
only a few of our sins or different people's sins become public. And,
right.
and so we don't want to cast them aside. The only people I would say to eliminate from your greeter ministry are those who are flagrant in their negative or sinful or bad character behavior. And if they don't seem to be trying to grow, trying to change or adjust or mend their ways, then you need to ask them to go sit on the pew or whatever. I don't want to encourage anybody to be judgmental, because you're not going to have a ministry if you want perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have sinned, and that's a part of that spiritual growth, that we want to help carry along those who may have done sins different from ourselves. God doesn't have big sins and little sins. Only stupid people do. In the Bible, sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. And so let's not make too big a deal of it, again, unless the behavior is continuous and flagrant and with a sense of I don't care. And then you need to eliminate that person. Otherwise, bring the person along, continue to do your spiritual nurture, your character training. In writing the book, I went out on the internet, and there are several websites dealing with character, and on one of them I found the list of 247 character traits. That included both the good and the bad, the positive and the negative character traits. And even just giving your group that particular list and say, you know, look at these, and then comparing that even with, say, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And, I mean, that you've got a great Bible study and a great training mechanism right there. So you're always orienting them not only towards the Word, but towards some self-discipline, as well as all the practical aspects of what's needed and required in greeting. One thing that came to my mind that's totally different from this subject that I had not mentioned, you've got to make sure your entrance ways are welcoming, warm and welcoming. That's relative to the color of paint on the walls, to appropriate seats or chairs in the entrance way where possible, at least one or two or three in case you've got an elderly person that needs to sit down quickly or whatever. So you've got to make your entrance ways welcoming and joyous and light and colorful in various ways. And you've got to ensure that you've got appropriate signage so people don't have to ask every question, where's the bathroom and a few other things. You've got appropriate signage in your entrance ways, as well as making them warm and friendly and welcoming.
Let me just remind folks.
I hope that helped a bit.
I think it did. I think also want to remind folks that we've got about 3 minutes left in our scheduled time, but what I find often is that the Q&A goes over. And so for those of you who'd like to continue to submit Q&A, we'll probably go about another half hour or so. This is such a big topic and so many people in our classroom that I can't quite say that we're going to go till every question is answered, because we just might be here until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't think we want to do that. I'd like to be able to have a manageable recording. But in the follow-up email that will go out to the attendees, there will be a place where your email address will be given, Paige. I think you've given me permission to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And a phone number in case people want to follow up with you directly, as well as my information if
yes.
people want to follow up with me directly as well. Because I can see from the volume of questions that have come in, we're just not going to have enough time to get them all done. So I'm going to try my best to group them briefly.
Okay.
Let me take the screen off for just a minute, so that what I can do is let me announce the winners of the books, and then we'll continue with the questions. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
We've got a couple of books to give away this evening, and let me bring it up on my screen here so that I can see who I'm giving these books to. And I've got two copies, Paige, of your book that that Justin Press has given me to give away, and one of those will be going to Jacqueline Reeves, and another one will be going to Jim Horton. I'll also be giving away two copies of my book, Church Greeters 101, to D'Angelo Weaver and Vanessa Young. And then Paige has also made available two copies of her Greeter devotional book, one for Earl White and the other one for Maurice Wallace. Now, these were all randomly chosen out of the people who attended today. I used a random number generator, so I put that together and saw who was here, and that's how it'll be distributed. So the e-books will be emailed to you.
Congratulations.
Yes, the e-books will be emailed to you in the next day or two, and the physical books will show up in your mail sometime sometime next week. So let's get back to the Q&A here. And I've got to find my, where'd my question panel go? Here it is. All right, we've got a bunch more questions that have come in. What do you think is Paige? What do you think is an appropriate time for your greeters and usher your greeters to stay on post after the worship begins?
There should always be a greeter throughout the entire service. Always be one or two, and that's proportionate to the size of your church. But always be a greeter out there in the hallway, because people leave the worship service. And some just are going to the restroom, but others have various needs. Someone may have a sick relative that has called, and there's a concern. Some may have experienced a very emotional or spiritual, high spiritual moment that they might need either some counseling or even ready to accept the Lord, but they may not know to stay in there and then respond at the invitation. So you've got a whole plethora of needs that are potential for people who are coming out of the worship into the hallway. It won't be a lot of folk, but there will be some. So you always need to have one, two, or three, four, or five greeters stratified around the exit of the sanctuary so that they can be available to either call. Somebody may be having heart pains and need a nurse, but they're not going to jump up in the middle of worship and say, I need a nurse. You've got to be on hand to see what the need is and to respond appropriately. So there should never be any time during the worship where there is not a greeter or several greeters on duty outside of the sanctuary.
There was a time where I was the one who was emotionally decomposing during a service because of the preaching, and it was a deeply profound moment where the Holy Spirit was touching my life, and I didn't want to be whimpering and disturbing the people around me, so I got up and went to the back of the sanctuary. And that's where an observant greeter actually approached me and just talked with me real briefly, and then led me to a place where I could spend some time being prayed for. And that was very meaningful to me because, I was the one who was I was the one who needed to leave, and this greeter really ministered to me that evening. So that was a fantastic time of ministry, and a good point to make that the greeters should stay available and be alert to that. It doesn't have to be all your greeters, but certainly one or two.
It's proportionate.
Yes.
But all of your greeters should stay at the church. Either they're in the worship or they're still on duty during worship, because remember they're coming back together in that brief team meeting once worshipers have gone home, and you can gather even in just the back of the sanctuary. It's 5 to 10 minutes, depending upon what needs to be said or dealt with. So it's not a long meeting after the worship, but your greeters need to come back together. Again, that's an important team-building moment that you huddle after virtually the last person has left the sanctuary. And so even though a greeter may not be on duty during the service, That doesn't mean they leave to go home. They're in worship, or either they're on duty, so that they can come together after the worship is over.
With the idea, coming back to the idea of meetings again, I can imagine that some churches are so overly busy, and the people so overly busy that some churches would have a challenge getting greeters excited about a meeting. I can imagine, I worked with a mission team this summer where the mission team itself during this 4 months of preparation never had one meeting as an entire team until they got to the airport, simply because they were so occupied with so many other things. How would you suggest to a trainer or to the greeting recruiter how to get your greeters excited about training meetings?
It's what you do after the initial training, because everybody has to go through the initial training. So after that is what I'm talking about, what I'm referring to now. So after that initial training, it's how exciting you make your meetings that will make the key difference. It's not just a meeting for meeting's sake, but it's a time together that's focused on the gems that we talked about, the guest experience moments, and that's a rich part of what your whole ministry is about. Either you are about meeting the needs and welcoming people who are hungry for worship, or you need to go play tiddlywinks. and so either you're focused on doing that, and a part of doing that is even celebrating what these people's lives bring to you in the church, and then what you give to each other as team members. So here again, it's a way to build your team. It's something that I think is crucial and critical. If you've got folks that say, well, I'm just too busy to do this, that, or the other, or to come back after the service or to stay after service, just allow them to not be a part of the greeter ministry. You don't want folks that are so busy that they cannot be a full part of your team. And if they're not a full and intentional and willing part of the team, you'll never develop the quality of commitment that you need. And if they would rather be a part of something else that has no meetings, allow them to be free to go and be a part of that. But that's not what the greeters ministry need, in my humble opinion. And so here again, you don't want to deal with just superficial stuff in that after service meeting. But it's kind of like coming together. You know how they put the hands together in the huddle and touching one another, saying, We've made it to another day. We've been a good team. We've been successful. This has happened. That was wonderful. This has happened. It's a concern. Let's be prayerful about it as we go our separate ways. See you next Sunday, whenever. The other piece that I think is tantamount to our care and concern here is that don't let your greeter teams serve every Sunday. They should only serve potentially once a month, at the most, depending upon the size of your church and your team. But even if you've only got two people who can serve each Sunday, if you've got eight members, then you stratify them over the month of a Sunday each. Nobody should be worn out with greeting by trying to be a greeter every Sunday. Don't let it happen. So in my experience, I would highly suggest that no more frequent than once a month, and even if it's just once every 2 months, depending upon the size, again, of your church, that's even better. And so there's a way to just stratify that to make people comfortable so that they can be free to be a part of something else in the church as well.
Now, a couple of questions have come in, and I'll try to group them all together in terms of these are going to be thematic questions. When is the right time to ask if they are visiting? When do you get, should you give them visitor cards as soon as they come into the church? You want to say something about greeters and getting visitor contact information?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, they're two separate moments distinguished from each other. There should be a moment of greeting as the person arrives, and there's a moment of welcoming within the service itself, where most churches have visitors to stand, and the usher will pass them a visitor's card to fill out in the church service, drop it in the collection plate, wherever, or give it back to the usher as they're on the way out. So to me, that's a separation of task and function between the greeter and the usher, and between arriving and then the worshiping moment, where there is a more official welcome from the pulpit or from the church clerk at during the announcement time or whatever. So in my estimation and preference, you should never be trying to get a person's information and put a card in their hand when they have just arrived at the church. It's a sensitive time. It's a sensitive moment. They're just getting there. They've made it through this, that, and the other. It's only the time to validate their arrival. Let them go on into worship, and there should be, in most congregations, even most denominations, have a greeting or a welcoming time, I should say, during the course of the service. That's when the visitors come, because people then have the liberty and freedom to stand up and acknowledge themselves as visitors. That's not as important for them to announce themselves as visitors when they're coming through the door. You should be familiar enough with your folk to gradually, and it may take a little time, but you should be familiar enough to gradually know who's a member and who's a visitor as you serve as a greeter over the few months or years, whatever. But that is just not the time when a person is just arriving at church to slap them with a handful of papers that they need to fill out as a visitor, or your whole package of visitor portfolio that now they need to put in a purse or whatever or carry into church. To me, it diminishes the greeting moment.
I know that on my at the evangelismcoach.org website, I have a one-hour MP3 available. An MP3 is a download audio file where I interviewed a church communications expert as to how and when to get visitor contact information. And so that's available on my church website, and they talk all about connection cards and how connection cards can work. And in their experience in many different churches, the comparisons between connection cards and how they're distributed and all that kind of good stuff. So that's a good hour-long interview to listen to. It's available free on the website at evangelismcoach.org. Let me group a couple more questions together, and we'll plan on wrapping this up here at 9:30, whether we're done with the questions or not, simply because I know that 9:30 Central, 10:30 East Coast time. So it'll be, Jalen will be almost over, or whoever has taken over for him is going to get started, not too long from now. So, also, I do want to make the announcement that the replay of the webinar will probably not be up until tomorrow, simply because it is getting late. You'll still get an email from me, but the replay itself will probably not be up till tomorrow afternoon for people to download and keep for themselves. Now, let's think in terms of helping a church determine how many greeters are appropriate. I know that that's a question of scale. And as I looked into the matter for my book, I couldn't really say that there's any magic number, because it really depends on how many entrances you have, how many services you have. And it also kind of depends on, I think, on the layout of your building. Because if people do not come in the kind of the foyer area, but they have to navigate your building in order to get to the sanctuary, then perhaps there needs to be some greeters at various turns along the way if somebody doesn't escort them along the way. I think of a church where I was actually the associate pastor. We were a church of about 100 people. But on any given Sunday, we had three greeters that were kind of stationed at various places, because we only had one primary entrance, but you had to take three turns to get to the sanctuary. And so that was how we solved that, So how would you help a church brainstorm for how many greeters are appropriate Maybe there are some common factors other than the number of services and the number of entrances.
Well, there would be. I would say you would need a minimum of two at every entrance to just get started, every major entrance to the church as people arrive for Sunday morning. So a minimum of two. And the main thing is getting started with what you have. You can always add to it and as you grow and develop your ministry. But try to start with at least a minimum of two. If you've got a major entrance, major narthex, large narthex, where you've got maybe six or eight doors that people are streaming through, you probably need 10 or 12 in that one area. As because people usually arrive in groups and waves, and not just one individual, two or three at a time. So, again, depending upon how large your entranceway is and how many, it's a minimum of two, in my estimation, at each of those major entranceways, and as many as 10 or 12 at your largest entranceway, because it's better to have a few more than you might need as the crowd arrives in waves than to have so few that you can barely speak to most of those who are arriving. That's about as best a gauge as I can suggest at the moment.
In my particular book, I kind of ask some questions to kind of help people map out. You know, it depends also on their rotation schedule. You know, in terms of how many greeters do they need? Are they rotating them out, you know, two on a given Sunday, but you got four Sundays in a month, so therefore you need eight. So it's a combination of how many entrances, how many services, the type of rotation schedule you'd pick. And then some don't like to rotate because their travel schedule is so awful that they know that they're only going to be on Sunday. You know, they're only going to be there five Sundays a year. And so they can't fit into a rotation schedule. So you've kind of, as the coordinator,
you've got to have some flexibility there with
flexibility,
that person.
That's correct.
Yes.
Now, you still need
a rotation schedule for most of your people to give some order and structure, but if you've got folk who really have a wacky kind of schedule, that it hinders them from being a regular part of that rotation. It's always greeting with grace is the title of my book. You've got to have that grace to be flexible with that individual, particularly if they are passionate about being a part of the greeter ministry. Absolutely.
Now let me group another cluster of questions together. They're based around the idea of the distinction between a greeter and an usher. Some churches have kind of specialized into two different branches where the ushers may have a certain set of responsibilities and the greeters have a certain set of responsibilities. Others are still kind of mixing the two and they're serving some of the dual purpose. So some of the questions that come out is, do you see let me pick one of them with that theme. Do you see a significant difference between greeters and ushers? And are there different expectations, duties, responsibilities, that type of stuff? I guess maybe the question is more of teasing out a little bit more the distinction.
Yes, absolutely. And at least in my mind, heart, and soul, I'm very clear that these are two very, very separate functions in the church. And as far as I'm concerned, the usher is from the door of the sanctuary down to the pulpit. That's the service area of the usher. The service area of the greeter is really from the curb up to the door of the sanctuary. And so you can even have greeters out in your parking lot, if you will. And I know that Saddleback Church does. They've got greeters everywhere. They've got more than 1,000 greeters on their roster, and they have about 6 or 7 services every weekend. So that's quite a huge church, well over 20,000 members. We rejoice at that, but that's not peculiar to every church. But what I would say to you is that the greeter's role is to cover the arriving worshiper from outside of the church, the immediate area, on up to the door of the sanctuary. At the door of the sanctuary should be the usher to give the bulletin, to help seat the person, to address whatever needs internal to the sanctuary that may arrive. And usually ushers are part of helping to take up offerings, and they have other duties in the sanctuary. In my mind, the work of the usher is practical. The work of the greeter is spiritual. You are there as a greeter to transform, to heighten, and encourage and enthuse the very spirit and demeanor of the arriving worshiper. Your immediate task is to help them transition from everything to what is or what was, what they've already come through and come out of, to arrive at the church, to help them now be open to the whatever's going to happen in the worship service. And so to me, it's two very, very different tasks. The greeter, in my mind, should never have anything in his or her hand. And as far as I'm concerned, I cannot stress that enough. Your hand should be free and available to touch or to help whichever is needed, necessary, or allowed, arriving worshiper. So I've talked with one church in my research in writing the book. It's out in California, and they had just kind of conflated, I guess is the word, the ushers group and the greeters group into one. And I just kind of cringed when I heard that and really didn't go much further with them, because that was just anathema for me. It may be fine for some people, but to me, keeping it separate is better for the arriving worshiper.
So it's almost as if you might say that the ushers would stand at the sanctuary doors and kind of be responsible,
yes,
for the related items in the sanctuary, but your greeters would be at the welcome center or the entry doors, or in the Sunday school classes for some churches, so that those would kind of be the different posts, if you will.
The greeter welcomes them to worship. The usher seats them in worship.
One
in
of
the
a follow-up question to that is in terms of administrative structure. Is the greeter ministry part of an usher board, or is the greeter ministry separate? Or it kind of gets into an administrative. In my particular book, I kind of lay out that there's an administrative hospitality committee that oversees all matters of First Impressions Ministries, as well as as part of the event planning. You know, if they're having, you know, a homecoming Sunday, or if they're having a pineapple Wednesday, or if they're having some kind of special victory celebration, this administrative committee kind of looks at the church calendar and keeps the hospitality focus. And then within that, there might be some specialized sub-ministries, such as your door greeters and your hospitality center and your ushers.
Absolutely, because I fully agree with you, Chris, that there could be an umbrella under which several of these different organizations fit, with someone at the top just managing and developing and nurturing them along and coordinating. And so, there could be a general hospitality ministry that's structured, and it could be even a minister of hospitality, and some administrative person to take on that whole area of ministry in the church, under which would be both the ushers, the greeters, even the those who cater to the meals and things and the food aspect of hospitality. So all of that could come under an umbrella in the church administratively. Absolutely.
Okay. One of the follow-up questions that has come in is in terms of greeting the pastor. I know in the last church that I served in, one of the things that we were taught is, because we were an international church, one of the things that we made sure that we did with every visitor, most of our visitors were immigrants from another country, the majority of them were. And so one of the things that we made sure that we did was to introduce our first-time visitors and even second-time visitors, personally introduce them to the preaching pastor that particular Sunday. Is that a pretty good practice for greeters to try to figure out how to work?
I'm not sure that's the responsibility of the greeter, and it can be, of course, but with the greeter being more so outside of the sanctuary, those persons, I would think maybe a minister, a staff minister, could maybe be introduced and gather together all of the visitors who would like to meet the preaching minister for that Sunday and invite them to a room or a setting or an area of the church. But to me, the greeters should be dealing with those who are leaving worship at the time, because that other task would also happen as people are leaving worship. So if you're going to take your greeters from giving a closing to those who are exiting the sanctuary, I think you're diminishing your greeter ministry. To me, there hopefully could be just a single individual that can say, in one way or another, all of those who would like to meet with the pastor who gave us this wonderful sermon this morning, please meet us in Sunday School Room 101 or whatever, however that could be handled. To me, you don't need a greeter to do that.
On the
and it could be kind of confusing and awkward practically to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the fact that visitors are strolled all throughout the church, downstairs, in the balcony, wherever, and then if greeters have to find them and lead them down to some room, some space to meet the preacher or whatever, to me that's not the work of the greeter.
Okay. If you can clarify something, one of the questions that has come in is that we talked, that you had mentioned that some of the area of the greeter's job is to go kind of from the curb to the church door, and then the ushers begin from the doors and goes to the front of the sanctuary. One of our pastors from the Midwest wrote in and says, my winters usually last about 6 months. I'm not sure my greeters want to serve outdoors, or something along those lines. Can you just bring a little clarity to what you mean from the greeter serving from the curb to the door?
Well, let me say this. You may have some stalwart greeter souls who can deal with that inclement weather. If that's what they live in year after year, they may can brave it on Sundays as well. And it may not be all the way out to the curb, but it may also be in their heavy parkas still on the outside in the parking lot of the church. And I've not had to really deal with that to any significant degree here in Virginia, but I do know many times if we have a barely an inch or two of snow, many churches cancel their services on that Sunday. And so in your particular setting, sir, I would suggest as far out as possible, and if possible, your greeters would have the range, and what I'm attempting to convey, that's their territory. So if it's safe enough, if it can be made safe enough, for example, some of the churches, and this is California again, they have some greeters, even welcoming people who are first-time visitors to the first-time visitors parking lot. So the first time I went to Saddleback Church, there was such excitement there. I saw people literally running to get in, and we were more than 40 minutes early for the service. And so the greater question to me for me is, how do we excite our worshipers to want to come into the sanctuary? And as much help as we can offer them from the time they get out of their car, from that point up to the sanctuary door, the better service we provide. So if the snow is just too awesome and awful in the sense of safety and the temperature is too low, then throw my idea out the window, because I'd rather for people to be safe than to be falling down in the ice and cold and so forth. But at least that's the territory of the greeter if it can be made safe and appropriate.
And one of the I did a radio interview on church hospitality yesterday, and my guest was telling me a story that when they had walked in the church, the greeters had taken on the responsibility of using the snowblower, and they had just brought the snowblower in and left it right there in the lobby, and so the melting snow was then all over the lobby floor. And that was kind of one of the observations that they were picking up. But I think for the most part, I would imagine that you would say that for the most part, greeters are at the entry door, and if they've got the ability to kind of look out into the parking lot and take care of some expected needs, then they can certainly do so. A couple more in the we'll take I got one more here I think that we can squeeze in for our time, and that would be any more suggestions and tips about retaining your volunteers.
Make your volunteers feel appreciated. They also have a lot to get over, to get through, to get beyond, just to come and render their volunteer services. And if they do not feel that their efforts are appreciated, then they will fall by the wayside. And secondly, the more you can help them grow, not only practically in learning phases of greeting, but also spiritually and socially, if you can help them grow in all three of those areas, you've got somebody for life. I firmly believe it. So it depends upon the quality of your time together and how much quality you invest and infuse in your time together. I almost hate to use the word meeting, but not only the training part, but the spiritual part of your and as well as the social part of your meetings, your time together. If you can make sure that each of those areas is fully enriched to the best of your ability, you've got people for a lifetime. And they will almost cry that they can't be there on their post at the appropriate time. And so it again depends upon the leader and how seriously he or she takes his or her job at leading folk to new levels of excellence in scripture, in spiritual growth, in social outreach and sharing, team building, etc., as well as all the practical things.
And I would say on that, a word of thanks goes a long way. Thanking people who have volunteered.
You cannot say it enough.
And one of the things that I think is also very helpful is for the coordinator who has scheduled your greeting team to actually not only say thanks the day of, but maybe to call during the week to say thanks and to ask stories about the experience. Because even in a post-team meeting like what you suggest, people may not have had a chance to reflect a story of a significant conversation that they had. And that kind of personal interest afterwards goes a long way to doing that. And then, believe it or not, go ahead, Paige.
I learned years ago that we have to learn how to care for the caregiver.
Yes.
And so your greeters are caregivers, and that does not diminish their need to be cared for. And
yes.
So what you just shared, Chris, is excellent in demonstrating and showing and sharing the quality of our care as leaders for those who are part of the greeter ministry.
In the last church that I served, another common question that I was asked before business, we couldn't talk business without being asked the question, how's your family? And I can't tell you how much I've learned by watching that question and learning how important it is. And just the change in relationship dynamics that happen when I have been asked that question, how's your family? Before we can do any business.
Yes.
And yeah. The follow-up to
beautiful.
That
That's beautiful.
Is that I had just come back from a 14-day mission trip, and I was attending a meeting, and at 1 minute after the meeting time started, we went straight to business. There was no chance,
wow.
You know, there was no chance for me to share about the mountaintop experience that I went on. Even if it could have just been a sentence or two, just an acknowledgement that that I just had this, you know, how was your trip? that question would have put an entirely different spin on the meeting. I sat through the entire
Absolutely.
Meeting feeling like I wasn't valued.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole lot of backstory to it, but simply because the organizer of the meeting didn't take time to ask me how I was doing. And I learned a lot from that. And so one of the things I do to keep my volunteers is before we get to business, I just ask them how they're doing. How's your family? And that seems to go a very long way.
Makes a big difference.
Well, we've gone way over our time tonight, but a lot of people have stayed on for the Q&A. Let me make some closing administrative announcements. Within about an hour, you as an attendee will get one more email from me. I know that I've filled up your email box this week. You'll get one more email from the GoToWebinar service that will point to the resource page at the evangelismcoach.org website. There you'll find the link to download to purchase Paige's book from Amazon. You'll find the link to download mine from churchgreetertraining.com if you were to choose to purchase either one of those. Within a day, the replay and the MP3 will be up, as well as the slides. It's just not going to happen tonight. But the link to the resource page will be in your email box within an hour. Paige, I'm so grateful that you have chosen to be with us tonight. I have learned a lot reading your book, and you know, yeah, I just wrote one, but I still think yours is the best that's out there for church greeters and training. And I've read nearly every book that's out there, and I can say that with integrity that I think yours is currently the best one available. And so, you know, I hope that people would indeed, you know, go out and buy your book instead of mine. But I also would like people to go buy mine as well. But you know, the idea is that we want to
and make
urge.
Sure that you get Chris's in indeed. And Chris, if you would allow me to just close out my
sure.
My participation with the thought that my mother shared with us and taught us even as young girls, me and my sister, and relative to hospitality. She said, "You'll never fail if you treat family as guests and treat guests as family." And that's a tenet of hospitality that's carried me a long ways, because hospitality is not about in your home how much silver or crystal you might have, or even in your church how gloriously arrayed it is, but it's that personal one-on-one treating guests as family. As though you're familiar, you care for them, you are glad to see them, etc. And you, then at home you treat family as guests, you honor them in so many ways. And so that has carried me a long ways through many cultures and in many situations in my own private personal home. So that's a word from my mom years ago.
Awesome.
God bless you all. It's been a joy to share with you.
Now, Paige, if people wanted to have you come and speak to them, do you do that?
Oh, absolutely. Ready to travel, ready to send literature, whatever is needed to counsel, to advise. I've got just a slightly busy schedule, but not so busy that I can't take on another one or two or three engagements. So let me know if I can come and be of help to you and your greeter ministry, to your church, to your team, and I certainly look forward to hearing from you in that regard.
And likewise, I do the same, whether live in person or virtually in a webinar format or by video conference. I do want to announce that that next week I've got two more training opportunities here. One is a webinar on personal evangelism. That'll be Tuesday at 3:00 in the afternoon. The registration information for that is at evangelismcoach.org, and that is going to be with Dr. Brad Long, who's the Executive Director of Presbyterian Reform Ministries International. And then on the 14th of October, which is Wednesday, I am doing a radio interview. You can listen in on my website with Jeffrey Johnson, the author of God's Style. He has written a book on personality-based evangelism. So next week, I've got two more training opportunities for you with regards to personal evangelism. So it's been a great time tonight. Look forward for another email from me in about an hour that will point to the resource page. For those of you who have registered for the webinar, you'll be part of my newsletter list that will announce other upcoming training opportunities. If you don't want that, you're free to opt out at any time. No harm, no foul. But it's a way that I want to keep you informed so that hopefully the Ministry of EvangelismCoach.org will be able to equip and encourage your church, both in personal evangelism as well as church growth matters around hospitality. We thank you all for joining us tonight. I will leave the Q&A window open if any of you would like to type in any more comments to Paige. If you found this information helpful, that'd be a way to communicate back to us what your thoughts are on it. So I will leave that window open for a little bit. But with that, we'll call it a night. Thank you all very much for joining us this evening.
Good night and God bless. Bye-bye.